Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house to share Jesus with the public. Father, we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and continue on with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 203, His Name is Wonderful, 203.
Good morning, Hillcrest. It is certainly good to be back in front of you this morning to see all your bright, wonderful faces. I have a few announcements for you this morning. First, you'll notice in your bulletin that the church-wide potluck has been canceled for Wednesday due to some COVID issues and all that. Other announcements that we have, if you did not sign up for VBS that was supposed to be last week, that's good news. We will be able to still sign up for it. So on the back of your bulletin, we have rescheduled VBS for July 25th through 29th. So that gives us opportunity, and I believe that God designed this opportunity so that we could go and spread the word even more to get more people to come to VBS on July 25th through 29th. So you still have time to sign up. You still have time to go tell your neighbors and friends and cousins and nieces and everybody, and let's pack this place for VBS on July 25th. It is certainly good to be back here. You know, the youth, last time I saw you, the youth were being sent off to Fuge, and hopefully soon we will have a share night at some point. I'll get with Pastor and more information, but we had a wonderful time, and You just need to continue to be proud of your youth. They're certainly wonderful young ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be more information about the share service coming up. But it is good to be here and good to see you all, and we want to welcome our guest. If you're a first-time visitor or even second- or third-time visitor, welcome to Hillcrest, and we're glad you're here this morning. We want to welcome you. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to stand up and we're going to shake hands and sing.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Okay, children, come on down. All right, we're just about ready. I know, I see them. You guys have a good week? What'd you do? Did you play games? Video games? Yeah. Do you ever go horseback riding? Horseback riding? Where you ride a horse? Do you ever play baseball? Okay. Good deal. Do you play basketball? You want to? Well, tell your old daddy to take you out to play basketball. I tell you what we'll do. When we get that Family Life Center built, you guys come down and I'll play basketball with you. We're not going to have to worry about it. Storms hitting our basketball goals. They'll be inside. Yeah. All right. I need to talk to you about something really serious. I was talking to some older people. And they were about my age. They were real old. They were old, old, old people. And they didn't exactly know who Jesus was. They didn't know how you get to heaven. So I want to share with you something, because I'm going to preach on today, that if you have faith, you ought to be working for the Lord. But here's what Jesus said. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe in me. Who is Jesus' Father? God. God is Jesus' Father. If I do not do the works of God, then don't believe in me. But if I do, though you do not believe in me, believe the works that you see. So I want to talk to you just a minute about, they were watching Jesus, and they kind of walked with him, and Jesus was going to crowds, and he did the work of his Father. Now, kind of remember the stories with me. Remember the 5,000, when he fed the 5,000? How many fish did he have? two fish, and 5 loaves of bread. And 5,000 people, 5,000 men, so there may have been up to 20,000 people, which is a lot of people. Have you, when you take two fish and 5 loaves of bread and you finish feeding all those people, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? They saw a miracle. They saw Jesus doing the work of the Father. They used their eyes and they saw that. One of the men came up to him and said, "My daughter's dying." And Jesus touched her and she came back to life. They saw that with their eyes. They saw Jesus doing the works of the Father. Can you think of anything else that Jesus may have done in front of people? He did turn water into wine. Yes. There was a blind man and Jesus spit and touched his eyes and he could see. There were some that couldn't talk. Jesus touched them and they could see. They saw Jesus working with their eyes and they saw it. And he said, "If you see me do the works of my Father, then you need to believe in me." Right? If you don't see the works of my Father, then don't believe in me. Well, they did see the Jesus doing the works. So I'm going to be preaching today that we've seen Jesus through the Word do the works of Father. So we ought to be doing the works of the Father too. One of the works that we do is just tell people about Jesus. Sometimes we visit somebody that's sick and we tell them that the Lord loves them. Just little things that we do that are just pleases God, but we're doing the work of the Father. Now, why am I telling you guys this? Yeah, so you guys can do the work of the Father. You can tell people Jesus loves them, can't you? Shake your head, yes. Let me repeat after me. I want to know that you heard me. I'm sick. So you come and tell me Jesus loves me. So tell me that. No, don't tell me I'm sick. I already know I'm sick. Just tell me that Jesus loves me. Go ahead. Yes. Let's hear it. Jesus loves you. Yes, he loves me too. That's all we have to do the works of God. We just got to do little things, and sometimes he asks us to do pretty major things too. Mm-hmm. Well, what? No, you don't always know what's in my bag, but it's not M&M's. You're welcome. You're welcome. Wait a minute. You gotta say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Come on, girls. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. They said, "Oh, well, Steve, come on down here and sit with me. Let me talk to you a minute."
Number 410, It Is Well With My Soul, 410. Oh, Please stand as we continue on with number 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness. 495.
The same, we will serve with gladness. dance and praise his name. Serve him with gladness, enter his courts with song. To our Creator true praises belong. Great is his mercy, wonderful is his name. We gladly serve him, his great love proclaim. Serve the Lord with gladness, this shall be our theme. As we walk together in his love supreme, listening ever, for the still small voice, his sweet will so precious will be our joys. Serve him with gladness, enter his courts with song. To our Creator true praises belong. Great is his mercy, wonderful is his name. We gladly serve him, his great love proclaim.
And you may be seated.
Wasn't that good? It takes a lot of oxygen, I think, to play that thing. Very good. Thank you, Don. Don told me he was working on it. You know, anytime you say something like that, you know what's going to happen. We're going to look at James chapter 2 today, verses 14 through 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We're going to be talking about faith and working faith. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. The Bible says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The title of this message is Faith That Works. And true faith in God and his kingdom principles needs to be more than just talk. It needs to be more than just words. And Johnny Hunt's commentary on the book of James, he wrote, "If faith is only something we talk about, comma, it is dead." In the book of James, James is refuting a heresy that was going around claiming that salvation has no bearing on your lifestyle and the way you work. Once saved, we believe always saved, but we are to work out our salvation as well. James is not disagreeing with Paul. There was some controversy about that. Paul wrote Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not by works." James is not disputing this. Paul is writing with a focus on somebody that's not saved. You get saved by faith. And as I put this down and thought about what was going on back then, I guess faith would save you if you died right after you got saved without works. That's the only way you can interpret it. Yes, Lord, I accept you, and bam, you're dead. Otherwise, God saves you, and then we are to work. Which is really not any two ways about it. Paul's writing is focusing on unsaved people. James' writing is focusing on saved, converted people. We need to understand that. There's still controversy about that. What James is saying is faith doesn't exist by itself, and it's not completely unconnected with our walk. We are to work as we live. We are to do the work of the Father. He's saying, when you get saved, this is Jerry's words, when you get saved, then God expects you to work for him. We're shaking our heads, yes. This was a pretty hard message to prepare because have you ever heard the saying 90% or there's work to be done, but only 10% of the people do 90% of the work? He's talking to all of us. When we get saved, God expects us to work. Faith without change And faith without works, James writes pretty boldly, that is dead faith. Remember back in, we were listening to James as he wrote in James chapter 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. His whole book is written to show us how to live a Christian life. He focuses on that life that has been converted, you and I, the saved people. He's talking to us straightforward. He's teaching us that a working Christianity is what pleases God. We are not working to be saved. We're working in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. As you go through life, you work for the Lord. There's no dispute between James' teachings and Paul's teachings. We die, then we look the Lord in the eye, and He will give judgment on us by our works. The rewards waiting for us will be judged by our works on this earth after salvation. So let's look at James and how he starts out in James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can that faith he's talking about save the person apart from works? And that's where he is not disputing Paul. When you get saved, there must be works involved after that. The truth of 2:8, Ephesians 2:8, is you're saved by grace. Paul just didn't add right then, after the grace of salvation, you're to work. Other places in Paul's writing, he tells us what to do and how to be obedient to the Father. James is just talking about many Christians have as an empty faith. They get saved and then you never see them back in church. They get saved and they never do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. They get saved and they're embarrassed to tell somebody about their testimony. Faith without works, James says, is dead and there's no profit to it. He's teaching us that as we get saved without works, we're actually being disobedient to the Lord. Throughout Jesus' teaching, wasn't he teaching us how to be a servant of God? He came to serve people. We are to serve people just like Jesus. Works is not going to save us. Grace saves us. But as we get saved, we are to work. Christians need to know that. We need to hear that. Adrian Rogers agreed with James when he wrote, 'Tis one life will soon be over. Only what's done for Christ will last. The way we work on earth is the way we lay up treasures in heaven. Adrian also wrote, the freedom that Jesus gives us is not freedom to do what we want, but the freedom to do as we ought to do. He writes, there is no cheap, easy, or lazy way to serve God. And I like this one. It's my business to do God's business, and it's God's business to take care of my business. We work hand in hand. I take care of God's business. He takes care of my business. Let's keep on going and look at the simple example James gives us about working faith in verses 15 through 17. Real simple. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does that profit? Thus also, faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. Real simple. He calls these brothers and sisters, so it's many think that this is church members. This is brothers and sisters in Christ. So you see somebody in need. They need a coat or they need some food. Just basic, very basic needs. And someone who's called our brother and sister, if they're a church member, it makes this example a real easy way of proving your faith. They're fellow believers. They're sitting right here. You don't have to go out to the street corner and witness to anybody. You don't have to go to a complete stranger and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to hook up with somebody and go to Africa to do mission work. It's right here in the church. And they come up to you and they say, I'm cold, I don't have a coat, or I'm hungry. And you don't have to do anything except respond to them. James is saying, if you let them go away cold and hungry, but something like this, but I'll be praying for you, and I hope that you have a blessed day today, that is faith without works. That is dead faith. What James is saying is when you have a church member inside your church and they express that they have a need, then we're to take care of that need right then and there. What does it profit you if they tell you I'm hungry, yet you let them go away without food? James says a big fat zero. It profits you nothing. Then look at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. 15 through 17, talking about a worthless faith by not helping the brother in need. Verse 18, Johnny Hunt calls this faith without works is wicked faith, this disobedient faith. The word show and show me your faith, it means to display or exhibit. So show me your faith, display your faith, exhibit your faith. So when they come up to you and say, I'm hungry, and you just say, well, I'll be praying for you, I hope that somebody feeds you, that's not displaying faith. That's worthless faith, according to James. So I want to share with you just a couple ways to make sure that we know how to serve somebody, how to take care of a need. If somebody came up to you and said, I'm hungry, working faith would mean that you'd immediately take out your wallet and give them a $20 bill or a $100 bill. Or maybe you just have your last $10 bill and you hand them the $10 bill. That is faith that works, because as you give that $10 to somebody, you have faith in God that he's going to take care of your needs. This is what James is talking to the church about. Today, I know a lot of you don't carry cash. So let me share with you how you can overcome not carrying cash. You go to the store and you get a $20 bill and you fold it up and you put it in your pocket just in case somebody's hungry, and you keep that $20 bill ready to give somebody right then when they say, I'm hungry. I'm talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Or you buy a gift card to Walmart. It's a $25 gift card. Put it in your wallet. Put it in your phone case. Put it wherever you keep stuff. And when they're hungry, James says, take care of that need and give them that gift card. Or better yet, when they're hungry, well, come go with me and I'll just take you out to Burger King and get a Whoopa. It's a Whopper in the South. The point is, we take them and take care of the need. Do something right then for people, our own brothers and sisters. I know from experience, and you do too, when God's people practice this, God blesses the church. This church, God has blessed and blessed and blessed because we've been very obedient in giving. We've been very generous in our taking care of other people. James is making sure that we understand that faith just in words is dead faith. Look at verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? This is just simply Jerry's writing. Faith with works go together. They cannot be separated. If you have faith, you must have works. There's no way to separate them. The deal is, God sometimes will give you something more difficult, even something dangerous. The more faith you give or have, the more that God's going to test you and prepare you for something else. One day He may ask you to do something that's going to cost you, or cost you greatly, or it's going to cost you your life. An example, Peter, James, and John, other disciples, they were at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified, remember? They saw Jesus die. They spent time, 3 years with Jesus, they saw Him do all those works. God gave them power to do works for Him. He sent them out to heal people, to cast out demons. God showed, He displayed to them the power of the Holy Spirit, and He infused them with the same power. They learned discipleship from the Master. Yet, when Jesus had a need, and it wasn't a basic need, by the way, it wasn't like, guys, I'm hungry. He needed to be buried. What did they do? What did they do? They took off and ran. They were afraid. Jesus sometimes will ask us to do something that's very, very costly, very dangerous, could even cost us our life. James would say to those disciples, to Peter and John and James, faith without works is dead. What profit did it give you that you ran when Jesus needed to be buried? Run over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verses 38 through 42. John 19, 38 through 42. Jesus had died on the cross. The disciples, they've ran away. They were scared to death. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he came back and took the body. Verse 39, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips with linen, with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was empty. James would look at the disciples, and he'd look at Nicodemus and Joseph. Who displayed faith? Who exhibited faith? Who took care of the need that Jesus had? He'd look at those two disciples and shake his head. You guys failed miserably. He'd look at Nicodemus and Joseph and said, you guys stepped up to the plate. You took care of the Lord Jesus' body. You took care of His need. Who would receive the profit for their work or lack of work? At this moment, words of faith without works is empty. Think about the disciples. Their faith at that moment was dead. They were scared. They ran. No profit. Joseph and Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. I don't know how to be reborn. Tell me how to get saved. He was scared to death. He went at night. So did Joseph. Yet they saw Jesus from afar and then started studying. And they became very, very brave disciples. Who do you think was watching during this whole episode? Our Lord Jesus and our Father God. The Holy Spirit was watching as well. Faith without works is dead.
Jesus continues to watch today. This is where it got hard to prepare the message. James was up here talking to Hillcrest Baptist Church today, and he already knew whether we worked or not for God here at church. What would he see? Would he see the whole church working for Jesus? Would he see God's people working for Jesus? When we're asked to do something right here within our own congregation, is our heart saying, yes, I'll do it? We've got a new building coming up, and it's going to require great work. It's going to cost some of us time. When you're asked to do something, are you going to say yes or no? Are you going to step up to the plate like Joseph and Nicodemus did for the Lord? Or are we going to flee like the disciples did? They've been walking with Jesus. This coming year, we started this past week with our nominating reports. And you know as well as I do, we got about half the people in here that we normally have. We're going to have to do church next year with about half the people that we normally do. Are you going to step up when you're asked to do something? Are you going to pitch in without being asked to do something? These are questions that James would ask. These are things that he took a stand on. These were things that he died for. Nobody liked to hear his preaching. I went to a funeral this week. And it was like an awards ceremony for the person that died. They got up and said, what a great athlete he was. And he's got records at Austin Peay that he set, and there's some of them still standing. He knew how to do every sport well, and he was a champion in all of them. And awards and medals and trophies. And three of his players from Austin Peay just got up and bragged how good he was and what great athlete he was and how he was a great member of the team. Daddy was a preacher. And I've been knowing this man for 50-some years, and I've never saw him serve the Lord Jesus Christ, never heard him mention Jesus. Yet they got up and bragged on what a great guy he is, what a great father he was when he wasn't a great father. And the preacher got up and said, because he was such a great guy, he's in heaven today. Well, let me tell you, that's a bunch of bunk. You don't get in heaven by good works. You don't get in heaven by being a great athlete. You don't get in heaven. You get in heaven by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I am the way, the truth, and life. There's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. That is the only way to get to heaven. But once you get to heaven, once you get saved, the Lord expects us to work. I went away from that funeral. My heart was broken. There were probably 200 people there. Many of them professed to be Christians. I wonder how many Christians really work for God, really do the work of Jesus. Even church attendance. How often do we just come on Sunday mornings only? Faith without works is dead. James took a strong stand, and I'm so grateful for him. Let me read to you how James died. This is out of Fox's Martyrs. Of James, the brother of the Lord, we read the following. James, being considered a just and perfect man, governed the church with the apostles. He drank no wine or any strong drink, ate no meat, and never shaved his head. He was the only man allowed to enter into the holy place, for he never wore wool, just linen. He would enter into the temple alone, fall on his knees, and ask permission for the people, doing this so often that his knees lost their sense of feeling and became hardened like the knees of a camel. Because of his holy life, James was called the Just, and the safeguard of the people. And the Pharisees were dead set against the church, against the teachings of Christ. So they wanted James to get up and tell the people to quit living according to God's way. We beg you to restrain the people, for they believe Jesus as though he were Christ. Persuade those who come to the Passover to think correctly about Christ, because they will listen to you. Stand on top of the temple so you can be heard by everyone. This is the Pharisees encouraging James. During the Passover, the scribes and Pharisees put James on top of the temple, calling at him, "You just man whom we all ought to obey, this people is going astray after Jesus who was crucified." And James answered, "What do you ask me of Jesus, the Son of Man? He sits on the right hand of the Most High and shall come in the clouds of heaven." Hearing this, many of the crowd were persuaded and glorified God, crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But then the scribes and Pharisees realized they'd done the wrong thing by allowing James to testify of Christ. He got up boldly and preached Jesus when he wasn't supposed to. They cried out, "Oh, this just man is seduced too," then went up and threw James off the temple. James wasn't killed by the fall. He turned and fell on his knees and called, "O Lord God, Father, I beg you to forgive them, for they do not know what they do." They decided to stone James, but a priest said to them, "Wait, what are you doing? The just man is praying for you." One of the men there, a fuller, took the instrument he used to beat cloth and hit James in the head, killing him. That's who wrote the book of James. You bold, brave, faithful. He believed this. I believe we ought to be obedient to it. And when he wrote faith without works, he's talking to us. Sometimes God's teaching hurts, but it ought to be convicting. I'd hate to think, because I get up here and preach the word of God, that y'all take me up on the steeple and throw me off. If I ever look and see a look in your eyes, I'm running. You don't have a very brave preacher. Isn't that pitiful, though? You take a stand for God and somebody kills you. One day we're going to stand in the face of God. And the Bible says we're going to give an account for our life, what we did, both good and bad. He's keeping up. He knows. Father, Lord, I do thank you for the book of James. I thank you for the strong testimony of James and his boldness, his love for you, his love for the word, his love for the church, his writing, Father, his heart. But it's right to the point. It's straight from the word of Jesus. It's straight from the mouth of the Lord. Help us, Lord, today to hear James, as he says, faith without works is dead. I do pray, God, that all of us would look inwardly and make sure that we're working for God. We're doing the work of the Father. Just little things sometimes is enough. Sometimes you expect big things from us, dangerous things. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be like Isaiah. Lord, send me. Help us to be like Elijah. Elijah, give me a double portion of your power. God, help us to hear today your thoughts. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the word still stands. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through him. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, please come forward and let me talk to you and pray with you. Christian brothers and sisters, if there's work lacking in your life, today would be the day to say, "Lord, I heard the message, and I want to do something about it." And stand and listen to God.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus Peditus, stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
David, would you close us?